The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
Good afternoon and welcome, and my advice is put on your seatbelt. We're in for quite a ride over these next 4 days, 4 hours, 4 days, who knows how long. But when we last saw you on Friday night, everybody was in the best mood of the summer. We had finally seen a semblance of the schedule, and today everything has been turned upside down. Let's start with some headlines, and if you have been away for a day or two, you're in for quite a roller coaster ride in terms of college football. Last night, college football stars held a video call to further unite, have issued a statement, and college football players are united and with a voice for the first time in a long time. Trevor Lawrence, the face of the game from Clemson University, hashtag we want to play. And then the ACC, Big Ten, Pac-12, SEC, and the Big 12 all put out, all the players put out a joint statement. If only the adults could be so unified. Meanwhile, the president of the United States, the 45th president, has just tweeted, play college football, exclamation point. We all may not agree with the president on everything. I think most of us agree with him on this thing. The president putting it mildly in a three-word tweet, and has that picked up some steam this afternoon as well. So what's really at stake here? What are we talking about? We're talking about this. According to sources, the Power Five conferences are talking about shutting down. I know for months you've heard this conversation. Last week we heard the Big Ten was getting close. Today we hear the Big Ten may be on the brink of saying goodnight. And what would that mean for the rest of college football? Let's talk about where this all began. Last Wednesday, the Big issued its revised schedule. We're all pretty excited. The Ohio State-Michigan game moved up. Feels like we could see the college football season for the first time. The ACC released its schedule Friday night right here. You saw the SEC announce additional opponents, the two extra conference games. So you go to bed Friday night feeling good, and Saturday morning by the time you've had cornflakes, the MAC, an influential FBS conference, shut it all down. That sent off a chain of command, and by yesterday the Big Ten presidents were meeting, discussing a shutdown. There have been reports all day that they voted 12-2 against playing. Only Nebraska and Iowa in favor of playing. And then today, the hashtag we want to play movement picking up tremendous steam. The commissioner of the SEC has been heard, just tweeting from Birmingham. I'll just go ahead and read it to you if you're in the car. Best advice I've received since COVID, be patient, take time in making decisions. This is all new and you'll gain better information each day. SEC has been deliberate at each step since March. Slowed return to practice, delayed first game to respect start of semester. Developed testing protocols. We knew concerns remain. We have never had a football season in COVID environment. Can we play? I don't know. We haven't stopped trying. We support, educate, and care for student athletes every day, and we'll continue to do so every day. So, where are we? That is a very, very good question. One thing we are going to try to do tonight, throughout this afternoon into early evening, is talk to as many people in the know as we possibly can. Of course, include your reaction, but we begin with one of the most knowledgeable and best reporters in the country. He has been literally all over this from the beginning, Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. And Ross, thank you very, very much. Let's talk overview for a second. Take us through the landscape of college football at 3 o'clock Eastern time. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. Not by the hour, but by the minute, it seems like things change and there's new events and there's new tweets. Right now, I think the overwhelming storyline is we thought, or many thought, that the Big Ten's decision or potential decision, impending decision, would put pressure on other conferences to make a similar decision. And they were, as we reported yesterday, trying to recruit Power 5 teams to make a uniform decision, of Power 5 conferences to make a uniform decision like they were planning to do. And so we thought that the Big Ten's decision would put pressure on other conferences. But what we're seeing now is wild. You know, we're seeing the Big Ten is the one now with immense pressure coming from within its own conference. Ryan Day, Ohio State coach, tweeting just now about we want to play. Jim Harbaugh released a letter about, I mean, a full page about how we should play. Scott Frost just went on an incredible a rant in his news conference about how we should play and how Nebraska wants to play. It's you know, the president obviously tweeting about it. Politicians, Nebraska senator sending, as we reported earlier, sending a letter to the Big Ten presidents. It's incredible. The exact opposite of what we thought might happen, where the other conferences were under immense pressure because the Big Ten was canceling. We're seeing the opposite happen. It's been a crazy day so far.
Yeah, Ross, listen, I think we both understand what coaches are saying, but they're saying it very loudly, and these are prominent people, and you know, you have the president involved, you have the Senator Sasse from Nebraska, you have governors across the country. I mean, it's almost hard to keep up with this on a minute-by-minute basis, and I know that's what you're trying to do, so... take us through from now until the end of the day. What's on the docket?
I think there was a report, I believe, from Graham Couch. And you have to forgive me. I'm not exactly sure who, what outlet he works for in the Big Ten country. But he had reported, and I haven't seen it anywhere else, but he had reported the Big Ten will meet tonight to make their final decision, which, as we all, I think a lot of us have reported, it's supposed to be. To pull the plug on a season. He reported that meeting will start at, I believe, 6 o'clock Eastern. Again, we haven't necessarily confirmed that or anything, but that's the latest from there. All the other conferences, Paul, don't have any scheduled meetings until later this week. Now, the SEC, as we reported earlier, their presidents are meeting today in an impromptu meeting, an impromptu video call. While it is impromptu and it wasn't scheduled, there isn't supposed to be any kind of vote. I think it's more of a gauging where everybody is and exploring maybe the news that happened over the weekend and stuff. So outside the Big Ten meeting tonight, the alleged meeting, I don't expect any significant news from other conferences, but tomorrow is a big day. You know, we'll have the potential of Big Ten news, whether they delay more or decide to pull the plug. We have the Big 12 meeting tomorrow among its presidents. There seems to be some split there on what they're doing. The Pac-12 are meeting tomorrow. We reported earlier that the Pac-12 is on a similar path to the Big Ten. Industry sources over there say that the Big Ten pulls the plug, you can kind of expect the Pac-12 presidents to give the okay on doing the same tomorrow. So tomorrow could be a pretty big day.
Ross, let me pull the camera back for a second from what is going on right now, but what happened over the weekend, in your estimation, that caused a delicate balance in, you know, maybe a lot of cautious optimism, but still there was a movement at least to get to September. We were only 3 weeks away from the scheduled first game. Why did this thing seemingly collapse the way it did?
That's a great question. I would love to sit down with some of the Big Ten presidents and Kevin Warren and ask that, because it seemed like we were destined to at least start a season. I will say, though, this has been building. It's been building for close to a week, and really, if you want to go back, it's been building since July 4th when all the numbers kind of spiked throughout the nation. But over the last week, it's been building a little bit in the Big Ten. We've heard some rumblings all last week that they were not completely committed to playing. You remember, I think Pat Forty, my colleague, first reported it, the letter that Kevin Warren sent to Big Ten schools. The first paragraph was, basically, we don't know if we're going to play or not. I mean, they delayed their schedule announcement by a day or two. They did release it, but they had delayed it. So it feels like it's been building. And then, of course, their little brother, right, the Mac, pulled the plug on its season. And don't think, Paul, that the Mac didn't consult the Big Ten, because that certainly happened. Just like the Sun Belt would consult the SEC if it was going to do something like pull the plug. So I think that happened. So we have been building to a point, and I think Bob Bowlesby from the Big 12 said it to the Dallas Morning News yesterday. It was a great quote about, yes, the medical advisory panel has not yet said shut it down, but it had also given us lately some disturbing news and developments in the long-term effects of COVID with heart stuff, which we wrote about yesterday, and some other long-term effects. And those are the latest things that have happened and have really kind of spooked conference commissioners and school presidents.
So today, you're reporting this in real time. I mean, there is pushback. Let's concentrate on the SEC for just a second. Where do you think, I mean, we saw Greg Sankey's tweet a minute ago. You can do a lot of interpretation into what he's really trying to say there, other than maybe to get everyone to calm down. But how would you say the SEC is split right now, or is it split? Do you think the university presidents are unanimously in favor of playing? Do you think they're 10-4? Do you think they're split down the middle, 7-7? I mean, where do you think they are?
I don't think it's a big split. You know, if I had to get, and this is not, it's not like I've talked to each school. I've talked to 3 or 4 schools today and yesterday, and they're all in pretty good unison of trying to play, trying to keep playing. So I don't think it's some kind of big split. I don't know if it's unanimous across the board in the SEC, but certainly if the Big Ten, you know, Paul, pulls the plug and the Pac-12 follows, what do you do? You know, do you still try to play without two of the five Power Five conferences in? Does that change anybody's outlook? When you talk to people around the league, they'll say a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it's got to change, right? An associate AD asked me, if the Big Ten doesn't play, the Pac-12 doesn't play, how do you compete for a viable national championship? Is it real? And I think that's a great question. That's a great point. So they're in the ADs and the SEC were scheduled to meet this morning, and I believe they did. That was a scheduled planned meeting, but the president's was more of an impromptu. I don't expect necessarily any significant news from there, except just discussing the news that have unraveled. But to get back to your question, Paul, I don't foresee a huge split like there apparently is in the Big Ten for not playing. I think most in the SEC, if not all, want to play or want to at least continue moving forward to that start date.
And Ross, let me close with the politics of it all. I mean, we've had the president chime in. Everyone else has chimed in, and it's still early in the day. What happens if the Big Ten and the Pac-12 go bye-bye tomorrow? The SEC needs, and the ACC, I would assume, need the Big 12 to go one way or the other. And even if it's impractical, can this thing hold together much longer?
It feels like we have different factions here, right? We have the Big Ten and we have the Pac-12. They do seem to be arm in arm. We know that the Pac-12's little brother kind of is the Mountain West. So do those three, are those three kind of in lock? You know, and then you have the ACC, the SEC, the AAC, and the other two G5s over in the Southeast, which Conference USA in the Sun Belt. They seem to be grouped in, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but the Big 12 feels like it's in the middle, you know, and I don't know which way it's really going, and maybe we'll find out tomorrow. That seems to be the factions going on, and if the Big Ten, Mountain West, Pac-12, and if the Big 12 comes over and they pull the trigger too, you got to wonder if that other faction of those three group of fives in the ACC, in the SEC, if they will stick it out, because there's going to be immense pressure on them, because the Big Ten and the Pac-12, when they make their announcement, Paul, they're going to announce we are stopping for safety and medical reasons, and here are the reasons. So how of a poor position does that put all the other conferences if they end up playing? Well, the Big Ten stopped, the Pac-12 stopped because of all these safety reasons, but we're going to still go. It's a tough spot to be in.
Ross, I've asked you, I think, three straight final questions, but some will say we're playing in spring. If it all collapses, how viable is it for the SEC to play in the spring?
You talk to people in football, Paul, and it's not viable, they'll tell you. And it's not viable for I should put an asterisk next to that. It's not viable without a vaccine or a serious increase in rapid testing. But even if there's an advancement in rapid testing, even if there's a vaccine, you are still looking at amateur athletes playing potentially 20, 22 games in a 7-8 month span. And that is going to be the real hurdle to get over. And you're doing that at a time when you're asking Congress to help you out on name, image, and likeness, and how your players aren't athletes and you treat them well and all this stuff, and then you're going to ask them to play 20-plus games. That seems to be the real sticking point with people in higher education.
Ross, thank you. Thank you so much. Great reporting. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Paul.
Ross Dellinger, who has just been absolute money on the story from the beginning, from Sports Illustrated. We will take a break. We went long there. We'll try to make up for it, bring some reaction from you. And a very long guest list, to say the least. We will rapid-fire around the country trying to get the absolute latest. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we're back. Let's try to grab a call or two here before we connect with Hunter Yerichek from the University of Arkansas, who has been very outspoken about playing football this fall. Remember, a couple weeks ago he told us about it. His son's on the team, and he'll join us in a minute. Augie in New Orleans is up next. Hello, Augie. I do not hear Augie. Maybe I'm just not hearing well. Let's check. Augie. Yeah, go ahead, Augie. Are you there?
Sorry about the fall. Have you ever experienced a day like today?
No. I mean, this really started Saturday morning. It felt like things were about to implode. Then yesterday was a literal meltdown. And then today it's been the end of that.
Wow. I heard a big exhale from Clay Helton and Jim Harbaugh. They're safe for another year. Hmm. But this thing is getting so many twists and turns. You don't even need to have subtitles and visuals so guys like Squirrel and Jeff can follow. But Paul, the SEC was talking about adding new teams. How's that going to work with the schedule was just released?
Well, again, one thing about this situation, one day doesn't matter to the next. And, I mean, I talked to someone Sunday morning, Augie, connected to the SEC, and he said we were hoping to get the rest of the schedule out by the end of this week. That's how dramatic this movement is. And remember, you know, we haven't heard from the SEC yet. That's the most important thing to consider here. We're only hearing primarily from the Big Ten.
Well, one last point, Paul. This season, and nobody can doubt, is an anomaly. Thanks, Paul.
And I tell you what, we don't have a lot of time here. I want to make sure we save some time for Hunter Yerichek in a minute. But again, if you're just getting on, we'll try to update you throughout the afternoon on the absolute latest. Right now, we finally calmed down after a tumultuous 48 hours, beginning with the MAC and then leading into last night. I mean, last night, I would say about 7 o'clock, it didn't look like college football would make it to today. That's how tenuous the situation was. But we are still alive as of this hour. And for that, we are grateful. Many more guests to come, including the athletic director at the University of Arkansas. He is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back on what is already a busy day. We're just barely 30 minutes in to our Monday afternoon program. I thought when we left the air Friday night, our next guest would maybe be our first guest to talk about his reaction to the upcoming schedule. That seemed like a year ago. Hunter Yurachek joining us. Hunter, the director of athletics at Arkansas, thank you so much for being with us. And I say that laughingly because it's been such a tumultuous weekend for a lot of people in college football, and it's great to have you on. And we're really eager to hear your thoughts on everything that is going on.
Well, Paul, it's great to be on, and I look forward to the day where I can come on your show and talk about something that's really exciting, like student athletes playing sports, and what the success they're having on and off the field.
Well, we appreciate that. It's always good to have Hunter on with his perspective, of course, the vice chancellor as well at the University of Arkansas. Hunter, let's talk about what is currently going on today. And you're part of this conversation. There are so many reports, and it's almost impossible to keep up with them. Where are we right now in the SEC, as best you can tell us?
Well, you know, we have a regular scheduled call on Mondays, just like we do most days right now, and we're continuing to proceed, and we're obviously proceeding with caution, but we feel like we have a really good plan that started back roughly 2 weeks ago, and we announced a 10-game conference-only schedule. Early last week, we released a practice schedule that pushed our practice back to starting next Monday with just 20 hours a week for our student-athletes to help reacclimate them to the sport of football. We released our medical protocols by way of our medical task force late last week. And as you mentioned, we released the additional two opponents for each of us to play. And so we've got a plan, and we want to continue to work that plan. And we're not going to panic because another Power Five conference may be making a different decision in the Southeastern Conference. That Greg Sankey does an incredible job leading us, and part of his leadership during the past several months is for us to be patient and take time in making decisions. These are some really impactful decisions we're having to make, and there's no need to rush into making those decisions.
And I know you can't speak for anyone else because you've been in other conferences, and you know there are different protocols, but one thing we've heard from various people is it, including the MAC, and we're going to talk to the commissioner a little bit later on, is that, you know, they're learning, everyone's learning something new every day, and there are more concerns today than there were yesterday. You addressed that earlier today in a tweet, even talking about your own son, which you mentioned to us a couple of weeks ago. I'll let you answer because I would never want to put any words in someone's mouth, but the indication was you still feel pretty good about the protocols and where we are.
I do, Paul. I'm not a medical professional. I like to say during this time I'm an AD, not an MD, and I lean heavily on our medical team here at the University of Arkansas, as well as our SEC Medical Task Force, and I believe they've met and put together a really good plan for our student-athletes, a plan that we've technically been implementing since June the 8th. If you look at our testing right now for our football program, we have zero active cases, and we have zero football student athletes currently in quarantine on our campus, and we're ready to get started with practice next Monday. Now, that can continue to change, but our student athletes, Coach Pittman and I meet with them on a regular basis. They want to play, and not just in the sport of football, but that goes for women's soccer and volleyball. And I know the focus right now is on football, but and I do have a son that's on the team. I have another son that started high school football practice last week. I have a son that's a graduate assistant. And my wife and I both feel comfortable with them participating based on what we know.
Hunter, there has been such a reaction from the players, as you know and everyone knows, it's impossible to miss. As someone who's heavily involved, you already laid out your own kids playing college football and being involved in high school football and elsewhere. What is your thoughts or in relation to what we're hearing from players from coast to coast around college football about wanting to play the game?
Well, I think it's they have found here in the past several months that they have a voice, and they're coming together with that voice, not only to tell their AD on their local campus what their thoughts are, but to have that voice heard nationally and I think in the right way. And I think sometimes they're as organized as student-athletes as we are as administrators, and I really admire what that movement means across our country and their student-athletes and their voice being heard. And that's why I put my tweet in support of them early this morning, because I believe that we want to play movement is the right thing right now. That could change 2 to 3 weeks from now, and I may change my opinion on that, Paul, based on some additional information that we may receive. But I'm really proud of how our student-athletes nationally are coming out and expressing their opinion on this.
Hunter Yurecek with us, Vice Chancellor and the Athletic Director at the University of Arkansas. Hunter, I know what you said at the beginning about not panicking because someone else has a different opinion, but certainly you've been in this industry a while. You know that many things do need, or at least seemingly need, to work together. In the event that we lose a couple of conferences, and the Big Ten speculation is out there, there's a report out this afternoon that the Pac-12 may not be far behind. I mean, where does that leave college football? Because there is so much on the line with not only playing, but having a structured Tour Day championship that could be shattered if these reports are indeed true.
Yeah, it leaves college football in a really tough spot, Paul. And, you know, I early on I read some articles about the Spanish flu of 1918, and I'm sure you have done the same, read. And, you know, back in, I think, 1918 and 1919, some schools played 4 or 5 games. Some played 7, 8, or 9 games. I don't know that they definitively declared a national champion, but they played college football. We played college football. Last year was the 150th anniversary of college football. College football has survived a number of things during the past 150 years, and I truly believe that college football in some way, shape, or form can also survive what we're going through right now, and it may survive without all of the teams in the Power Five or FBS participating this year, but college football will survive.
Hunter, as we continue on, I know that you said not to panic. The commissioner put out a tweet a minute ago saying there's no reason to. But how do you hold? It's not. I mean, ultimately, the SEC has to hold together for this thing for the season to stay alive. How do you think that happens? I mean, just trying to preach patience with your colleagues, because it's not easy to stay firm when everything else is cracking around you.
I think that's great leadership from our conference office that is holding us together. We don't always agree on everything when we're in a meeting, on a Zoom call, whatever the case may be, that we're gathering as leaders of our 14 SEC institutions. But when we end that meeting, we're all on the same page and all together, and all believe that we've made the right decision for the health and safety and well-being of our student-athletes that we each represent and for our conference moving forward. And I credit Greg Sankey for keeping us on the same page as far as that goes, because we don't all agree, and we represent 11 different states, and we all have our own challenges with this virus right now within our states and on our campuses. But Greg has done an incredible job of keeping us all on the same page since March the 11th.
Hunter, thanks for coming on. I was going to ask you repeatedly about Auburn's schedule, Arkansas' schedule, and you mentioned it the other night. So let me go ahead just for fun and get your reaction to what Arkansas ended up with. I know your fans were not very happy. You put out what I would call a diplomatic tweet saying it's the hardest schedule in history. What was your reaction Friday when that was announced?
Well, you know, I called Coach Pittman, and I said, well, we're going to take Barry Odom on the University of Missouri reunion tour, and then we're going to take Felipe Franks to the Swamp for his reunion tour, and then we're going to welcome the Georgia Bulldogs to Razorback Stadium for the Sam Pittman reunion tour. And It's going to, obviously, it's a challenge for our football program and where we stand right now. But Coach Pittman's done an incredible job creating a belief in those student athletes that anything is possible. And I think our young men are excited about that challenge. And it is a challenging schedule. I mean, we take Notre Dame off the schedule and replace them with Florida. And then we take Louisiana, Monroe, and Nevada off the schedule and replace them with Georgia. We have a challenge ahead of us, but it's one that we'll step up and try to meet that challenge as well as we can.
It could have been worse. They could have added Ohio State and Clemson, but they pretty much did already. So, Hunter, it's good to laugh because there have been too few lately. But thanks for coming on. We appreciate your optimism and your passion for the game, and we hope to continue this dialogue for some time. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul, for your support of college football. Have a great afternoon.
You bet. Hunter Yerchek, the Vice Chancellor and AD at the University of Arkansas. Reports are everywhere about who will be next. The reports as of this hour continue to circulate that the Pac-12 group will meet tomorrow, according to ESPN, and they could be the next one to fall. Now, nobody's fallen yet. We're just talking about speculation, and we will come right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. As we continue, seems like we've been here a week already. It's only 48 minutes into the first hour. There is just simply so much going on. Let's continue trying to work in a few phone calls here at 855-242-7285. And Pat is up next. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I'm confused. I saw you on two shows this morning. I've been listening to Rick Neuheisel. Up until about 1 o'clock today, the news was they'd already voted. It was 12-2. They're canceling the Big Ten season, and it will be announced tonight. Now they're meeting at 6 to actually take the vote or to reconsider.
Well, here's what I think happened. I think what they call it a proxy vote where it's not binding. They just see what the room looks like. Juries do this now and then, as you probably know. If the vote was binding, they would have already gone ahead and announced it. So I think it's clear that they had a conversation. They were clearly. I mean, it's not hard to figure out what the room looks like, is it? If it's 12-2. So I think they're also being deferential to all the coaches who are speaking out. And Ryan Day just came out and said, just put out a tweet saying, you know, we want to play football and we're going to fight for it. So I think they're just trying to let everyone calm down and maybe talk to the other commissioners to see if they have any drafting partners, so to speak. That's my best guess, but I have no idea.
Okay, a follow-up. I think Booger McFarland just hit the nail on the head this morning. Players that say they're not safe at home, they are student athletes. If they're not going to play football, they're still students, and they're safer on campus, regardless of how they're in the classroom. So I don't buy. We need to play football because our homes aren't safe.
Well, I think that's the argument. Nick Saban just did an interview with Chris Lowe where he said that they're much safer on campus than they are at home. That may very well be true, but can you explain how Alabama has dozens and dozens of infections? Can you explain how LSU got them? Can you explain how Clemson got them? It's pretty easy to understand. They're back on campus and they're doing things that students do on campus. They go going to bar or were going to bars and socializing. I'm not saying they wouldn't do that at home either, but we know how much. I've said this 100 times, Pat. If every school when they talk, if Saban when he said that or someone else when they said what they've said, if they would tell us how many cases they've had, I think their words might resonate a little bit more, don't you?
Yes, I certainly agree with you, and I agree with everything you said. My point is they're both an athlete and they're a student. If they're not playing sports this fall, they can be in school as a student and attending class either in the classroom or online.
Impossible to argue that. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Joe is up next in Tennessee. Joe, thanks, and good afternoon.
Hello, Paul. I'm glad to talk to you, sir.
Thank you.
You know, the last guy, and you just kind of stole a little bit of my thunder. I worried a lot about these kids when they got sent home back in March and April. And I was glad to see them get back to campus a couple of months ago. But, you know, on the one hand, you know, all these kids don't come from houses with three-car garages, and they live in different neighborhoods. And some of them are probably better off at school than they are back home. My granddaughter plays college golf. And she, you know, when they called off their season, they sent all the foreign students home, whatever. She has not picked up a golf club in 3 or 4 months. And I don't see where she would be that much different than a football player dedicated to his job. But I just do think there's advantages to keep. If the colleges do not want to play football, I think they should work out a way to take care of these kids while they're not playing football.
Well, but Joe, I think they will. I think the smartest point to make, instead of what Saban and all these other coaches have made, is that the students are going to have better medical care on campus.
That's true.
And they'll have better facilities. The two of us would be better on a college campus at Tennessee or Auburn or Alabama or Florida than would be where I am. We wouldn't. It's not easy getting medical care right now in this country for common folks. But that I agree with. But you're right. I mean, they're still in school. I would think with all this player conversation that's going on, the universities are going to take care of them.
That's good. That's good. I just didn't want them sent home again like they were this spring.
Well, no. Nobody's sending anyone home unless the governors of every respective state orders that. And considering this is an election year, I say this tongue-in-cheek, that's not happening.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
It was good of you to take my call.
Well, Joe,
nice
I enjoyed it.
You,
you be well. Thanks. We're up against a break. A lot more to do on the program. We've already talked about the situation with all the conferences with Ross Dellinger and Hunter Yurecek. We're a long way from wrapping this up, and who knows what else is going to happen this afternoon.